Rusty Quill presents.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget? Quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Previously on Planet Arcana.
Last time, Riot received an anonymous letter implying that she and its author share a mutual friend and asking her to meet at Paragarden's Resonance Theater. Guessing at the author's identity, Riot's curiosity leads her and the crew to accept the invitation. When they arrive, the crew are greeted by the Resonance Theater's mysterious director/playwright, a sunset-hued cloud android named Epoch. After exchanging sentiments of mutual admiration for one another's reputations, Epoch leads Riot, Celestine, and Crater on a tour of the theater. She explains the evening's performance will be one night only, and its script finalized in the hours before the show. As the party gets to know Epoch, she makes it clear that Lux Booker is no friend of hers, but that she and Riot share an employer of sorts, the Devil Arcana. Epoch reveals herself to be a special kind of Namesferatu, one who targets other Namesferatu using theatrical performances. During the play, the devil inhabits one of her cast members and provides Epoch the true names of her targets. A successful ritual sees these targets become thralls to Epoch herself. In exchange for this unique power, Epoch does not indulge in a big sleep like her fellow Namesferatu. In fact, she is unable to sleep at all and suffers the physical effects of sleep's absence. After much discussion, Epoch and the crew agree to work together this night to take down the most troublesome of names for Atu, Lux Booker. Epoch conducts the orchestra in her pre-show ritual, summoning her cast of thralls. Then, to determine which of them is the devil in disguise, Riot and Epoch converse with the cast and crew before finally discovering the Arcana hiding within the lighting operator. And so, we rejoin Epoch and the crew as they attempt to bargain with the devil. Their proposal? Transfer Riot's bondage from Lux to Epoch.
I can hear you. I am listening. I can hear the cacophony
coming from all across the Fifth Kalai.
Oh, how I miss you, my dearest darling. I miss
the clockwork.
The neon.
The networks.
Oh, these metropolises, these
verdant,
desolate biomes. Oh, the fun and games we have planned.
But always with
the promise that we are on a blinding path of success. You will be tried.
You will be
compromised. I repeat, we've been compromised. But do not despair.
You will
see the world.
You will
know
Planet Arcana.
You will find
all it takes is a friend.
All it takes is perseverance.
All it takes is a little sweat. All it takes is a key.
Crater and Celestine. Or rather, Knight E4 and Steve. You stand in the theater, practicing the motions that Epoch taught you with the mop and preparing for your roles as Poop Deck Seaman 1 and 2.
Crater, do you think that I should swab up and down or side to side?
Circular motion, my boy.
Oh.
Circular motion.
All right. You know what's going on.
The orchestra continues to warm up and practice the music they got in the 11th hour from Epoch. And as they do, both of you standing here in such close proximity, you start to notice something about what they're playing. There's an undercurrent to the music, a tone that resonates. It's very reminiscent of the buzzing. Mm-hmm. As you realize this, especially you, Crater, you start to notice more and more the atmosphere of this place is so reminiscent of the Fantabyrinth, a place where you were able to speak with an Arcana face to face. There's something about this place. The veil is thin. Both of you feel that. And as you look around to the crew and the orchestra, the buzzing, it's affecting them all. The crew that didn't appear with Epoch's grand transformation and the starting note of the orchestra, the people who seem to have come off the street and be corporeal, they're all in some sort of fugue-like state. The veil is thin here. You notice this.
Like, you feel that too, right? Like, this is a weird fucking place.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel it, Crater. Something's weird. Something ain't quite right.
Like, we had the same feeling when the moon was around, right?
Well, so that should be no surprise, seeing as the other two went off to meet the devil.
How are you feeling about that, by the way? I think we've been like really supportive of Riot, but like on the surface, that sounds really fucking bad, right?
It does sound really bad, and I'm very glad that you said it. I know that Riot trusts this person, this Epoch, but I mean, look, she is a Namesferatu, like the other Namesferatu we know, and if she's using this power for good, well, I suppose that's all right, but it's still a... She still takes people's true names, and she still has thralls, and now here we are, working with her as she and Riot work with the devil, and it just doesn't feel... Well, I suppose it feels at least 50% evil.
Yeah, it's hard to know if we're on the right side here. You know, like, the lesser of two evils, like... I think we got to ask yourself, do we trust Epoch more than we trust Lux? And I think that's a pretty easy answer.
Well, I think at this point we trust pretty much everybody more than we trust Lux.
So I guess by default, that means we're going to side with the devil and then just let this veil drop in front of us and just hope everything's fine, I guess. And we got, now we're doing a play with very immature titles.
What? What's wrong with the title?
I think it's our roles that he...
Our roles, sorry.
Oh, no. What do you mean?
Yeah, what's wrong with poop deck semen number one?
I just want to note that we're in a really weird situation right now. It's odd to think that we're on the right side of this. That's all I'm saying.
I could never have guessed when I left Mom Pa's farm all that time ago that I would be here in Paragarden preparing to be poop deck semen number two.
I'm number two.
Wait. You're number two. I thought I was number. It's my copy of the script says number two.
I'm standing on the left. I'm number two.
Dang it. Well, should we switch or
no? It's fine. You can have two. I'll take one. It's the smaller part, but it's fine.
Okay. Well, I don't want to take your Craig. I'm not trying to horn in on your role here.
Celestine. No, this is your moment. It's okay.
My moment. But I don't.
You can do it. I believe in you. Okay.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm gonna be number two then.
Give him hell, kid.
As the two of you fuss over who is playing first and second part, and also start to realize that there's a difference between stage left and, you know, theater left.
Wait, what?
You both notice up in the booth where the lighting person is, you see Epoch and Riot walk in, exchange a few words with the lighting person, and then the lighting person changes. Transforms into a grotesque figure, one that you're familiar with, even just in the vibe and the general feeling of this place. You can tell they have encountered the devil.
Looks like they found what they're looking for up there.
Should we go see if our assistance is required?
Yeah, let's go make sure that nothing bad happens to our friends up there.
Maybe we get closer and hang back just a little, though. I'm not keen to just be seen by the devil.
Yeah, I don't want to be on a first name basis with this guy. Yeah, let's find our way up there and keep it low profile, I guess.
You make your way up to keep sort of on the down low. Riot has encountered the devil on her own before, and maybe there's a part of you that wants to be there for her should anything happen. We close in now on the lighting booth with Epoch, Riot, and the devil.
Epoch and Riot in the same place. What a treat.
I mean, you got both of us.
You happy?
Oh, I am so satisfied. Especially with the recent advent of your fealty, Riot. And I felt it was the appropriate time for you to make each other's acquaintance.
You say everything with a horniness that makes me...
It's very weird, isn't it?
So strange. Yeah, I know.
It's odd.
I've never heard that note before. I'm all right with that.
Yeah, it's not, you know, surprisingly not the worst, to be honest.
I'm not horny.
Anyway,
noted. It's important for us to know.
Gravitas.
Yes.
So we have a proposition.
A proposition for the devil. Oof. I want to hear it.
So.
Yeah, this is a little bit bigger than anything I've asked before, but I think that it's time for my sights to be set on bigger prey.
I see.
You know the only other person as big as I am?
I do. I assume we're talking about Lux, a booker.
We are.
And what did you two have in mind? Because I admit I might have something in mind as well.
Well, Riot is a thrall of Lux's, I believe, is what you said.
That's right.
I think our plan... This ritual tonight will be a ritual to rip her away from him. I want to steal her as a thrall.
Oh, I see. I must admit to the two of you that that is not quite what I had in mind when I connected you.
What was that?
Well, Epoch is precious to me. More precious than I would say most of my ambassadors. Perhaps the most precious of them all. And you're not doing so hot, are ya, Epoch?
I mean, not for nothing.
Not for nothing, indeed. But I haven't been exactly honest about just what kind of a toll it takes to not take a big sleep. All names for Atu need one.
Except for me, that was the deal.
Except for you, that was the deal. And when I made the deal, I foresaw cascading threads emerging from you as far as the eye could see, creating a golden horizon of control and bondage. And yet, we haven't achieved that horizon, have we? And I find, well, let's just say, in order to survive and keep doing our good works together, I may need to pass off some of your threads to Riot.
Wait, what?
What?
Oh, come, wouldn't you like to be the first who is both bound and binds others, Riot? Wouldn't you like to help Epoch?
So, that, like, I would be a name's Ferratu as well?
Exactly, with a few addendums and provisos.
Such as?
Well, you see, you pledged your fealty to me, Riot. So as far as I'm concerned, you've already taken the deal for me to transfer some of these bonds from Epoch to yourself so that Epoch and I can continue our great work. And so I can also protect another one of my greatest ambassadors. You see, if you become a Names Ferratu, you cannot touch another Names Ferratu. Epoch, having sacrificed sleep, is my only exception.
I didn't know this was...
How could you? And I suppose I don't have a lot of choice in the matter.
Can Crater and I hear this? Are we close enough to hear what's going on?
Yes. Absolutely.
You're close enough to hear what's going on. And to be clear, what the double is saying is that, like, once this happens, you can't go after Lux.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But those two could.
Well, if they can withstand the force of you working against them, Riot.
No. This... Okay. New deal.
I don't know about that.
I can't... They don't deserve this. None of them. And I've had my time in the spotlight. What if instead... You can give all of my power to whoever you want, not Riot. But I finally settle for my big sleep.
Now, I don't know if I like that, Epoch. You are blessed of me. You do the work that I could barely have dreamed of. And all it took was taking away your sleep and your dreams. Now, you're telling me that instead of two names for Atu, neither of whom can touch Lux, except, well, for you, if you dare, I would have no names for Atu. Now, how does the devil come out on top?
You could still have your names for Atu. And when I wake up from my sleep, I will rid the exception. We'll get rid of it.
And leave all those golden threads flapping in the wind, unattached, unbound, not to mention what might happen to you, Epoch, if I were to sever them all so suddenly.
What would happen?
Catastrophe.
Epoch. What else do you want? What else can I give you? You can have whatever.
No, I need to go...
I need to go after Lux. That's all I care about. So what is it that's not making me a Names Ferratu that you want?
What I want is what I have just described, Riot. And I will honor my deal with Celestine, but I would never knowingly jeopardize one of my ambassadors. As powerful as Lux Booker is, I'm afraid I'm not willing to budge on this one. But you'll love working for me, Riot.
You have to give us time.
I will grant you 5 minutes to discuss amongst yourselves.
Fine.
5 minutes.
Five.
Let's go outside.
Thank you, five. Let's go.
Really good.
Thank you. Thank you, five. Let me go.
Okay, so are we going to exit the lighting area to where kind of Crater and Celestine are lurking.
Yeah. We just walk down. We can be kind of down, kind of in the wings as people rush around us. I'm just going to do a little bit of bard magic. I don't know if I'm not going to say it's a specific spell, but I'll do a little bit of bard magic that like protects where we are. So it's like a literal bubble around us. So no one can hear what we're saying. And we can't hear the outside world.
Beautiful. So assuming you two heard some or all of that.
Yes. Yes, we did. And none of it is acceptable as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, we're not gonna let this happen. This is unacceptable.
What is the option here? Like, what is the alternative?
There has to be something. I didn't realize that that's what he wanted. I didn't. This is not the life you want to be living.
DMs?
Yes?
I would like to cast Divination and try and contact the star.
Oh!
Do it!
Sick.
Folks, the only way that I can think of to stop an arcana is with the help of an arcana. So I'm gonna see what the star's got for us. And I'm just gonna sit cross-legged on the floor and project my star map and look up to nothing. We're inside, but I feel like Celestine can see the stars from where he is. He knows what's up there. I guess the question is, how do we get Riot out of this deal with the devil?
It's a rather remarkable thing. You look up against nothingness, and the nothingness rearranges into pinpricks of light. And within the pinpricks of light, a glowing reverberation comes upon you, Celestine, and you hear,
"The only solution to an impossible situation is to remove the problem entirely."
What does that mean? Remove the problem entirely. Remove the problem entirely.
You mean devil?
Epoch, it sounds like you've been bonded to the devil longer than anybody else we've met. Do you know how to remove the devil, how to banish the devil from this plane, or how to undo the bondage of the devil?
I mean, I know nothing about getting rid of those ties, but we have my ritual, and it will happen during the show. Maybe we lure him onto the stage and act as if we're going to go through the ritual as normal, and we can use that as a time to maybe ambush them. But that would require a lot of danger. If we don't succeed, we are on stage. Everyone else will be lulled. That's part of the allure of the theater. No one will remember, truly. Outside of what they think we're doing on the stage, but they won't be able to truly see us. But that does leave us open and vulnerable.
Well, the alternative is that Ms. Riot becomes a names for Atu, and that is not acceptable.
I agree.
Are we really harming Lux by the act of serving him up for Teaspoon, though? I am having a hard time wrapping my head around putting all of you in danger because I don't want to be a names for Atu. I'm honestly a bit morally ambiguous. Maybe there's something to being a names for Atu and using it for good, or using it like you, Epoch.
It's not worth it. The only reason I can do what I do is because, as he said, I am an exception.
And Ms. Riot, I will remind you that the devil themselves specifically said that you would be working against us if we did try to continue to go after Lux.
You have no route that is your own any longer. Everything you choose from that point onward has to serve whatever the devil wants. Otherwise, it doesn't happen. And you don't want that life, and to be frank, I don't want that life for you. It's not worth it.
Well, that settles it then. We get the devil on the stage, and then we kick his ass.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all we can do.
That's all you can do. And at this, I think the devil actually jumps down from the balcony, lands onto the stage, puts its fingers through the bubble, and opens it as though it's a curtain. It sticks his head in and says,
5 minutes is up. Showtime.
Showtime. I walk out of our little bubble and I start yelling to the cast and crew and I say, "Let the people in. Let's go." And I start clapping and just going into that director role. But I'm going to turn around and look at everyone and just nod at them about what we have to do.
We'll nod back.
Yep.
Okay. DMs, before we start the show, I would like to go down to the orchestra pit if I can.
Absolutely.
Keep in mind that as you go down to the orchestra pit, they have started. That resonance has built in the space. And everyone who has a real body and is not a vision of this sort of place that has dipped into the networks in a way. Everyone who is a real person, in quotation marks, they're in this fugue state. They'll do whatever you ask of them, but there's not a lot of information running through their heads. That's all to say that if you wanted to have a conversation with someone, it might be challenging at this juncture.
Yeah. Sadly, I don't think Epoch is looking for a conversation. She goes down to Hearth, who is like playing and just like mindlessly playing like this beautiful solo. As people are walking in, they're just like setting the stage for what they're about to see. I think I crouch next to her chair and like staring into nowhere. I think Epoch, just with tears in her eyes, but like not enough to ruin her makeup. She refuses to do that. She knows that much. Hearth, I promise you that I would slow down after this. And I promise we will. But I hope that you know that I wanted to, at least, if I don't make it out of this.
She says one thing in response. An exquisite piece as always, Epoch.
Don't do this to me.
It is done.
Oh gosh. Oh my gosh. And I think I just say back, I deliver a kiss on the like on the head to Hearth. I just say, and for every exquisite piece, there must be an exquisite player. And I leave one kiss on her head and walk back up the stairs.
Oh, damn.
Jeez. The show must go on.
In fact, it must.
Let's get on a stage. Jeez.
You prepare for the show, everybody and everything now in its right place. You prepare to tell an epic story about pirates, I believe, was the consensus.
It's pirates. It's a lot of different eras clashing at once. It's a whole piece about, you know, society and the mixture of, you know, the plethora of personalities, eras coming together as one, but none of them can accept each other. It results in war and it's a whole thing.
It's genre bending.
Yes.
It's exquisite, as every piece of work that you've done is. But this one feels like it has a bit more weight. There's something incredibly important you need to do by the time the show concludes. As you prepare to start the show, the audience filing in, and you see them all, eyes sort of cloudy but focused on you, just a little bit vacant, the trance-like state takes over. And just as the play is about to commence, you hear a voice in your ear.
Do we have a deal?
Epoch and Riot, you both are delivered this message.
Oh, gosh.
I guess we kind of have to say yes for now, right?
We'll seal the deal with the ritual.
Agreed.
I look over at Riot. I think we're off stage, probably. So I'll look at all of you and just say, okay, pirates, keep swabbing. Obviously, doing a good job. Just remember, keep your, you know, chin up, out, you know, cheat towards the crowd, that kind of thing. Keep your eye out for when the ritual will begin. You are some of the only cognizant minds in here, so keep that in mind as well. I don't think you'll fall prey to the resonance of the theater, but just keep your mind sharp. When the ritual starts, you know what to do.
Hello, it's Jay, one of your DMs. I'm briefly interrupting the show to tell you about our Patreon, because I have to assume if you're listening to episode 40-something, you're probably enjoying the show. And if you're enjoying it, well, there's even more show to enjoy over on our Patreon. We do an entire other show called Recharge, which is our talkback show in which we discuss the episodes and tell fun stories about ourselves. It's always a good time, and I don't think I've ever left a Recharge recording without cry laughing, so that's what awaits you. Also, on our Patreon is a mail club. If you sign up, you get a monthly handwritten letter from one of us. It's nice, and we love connecting with our friends and fans that way. We unfortunately have to cap the number because there's only so many letters we can write, but keep an eye out for some openings. And, of course, if you're supporting us by listening, reviewing, telling your friends. We appreciate you so much. Every download counts for a little show like ours, and we can't thank you enough for being here. All right, that being said, back to the show. The show commences. Lexi, why don't you take us on a journey? What is this play about? What happens?
It's a musical, it's a play, it's all of these things mixed up into one. Riot, are you going to be on stage? Are you like main character?
I'm down for whatever. Yeah, I'm in for sure.
Dope. Cool. So we've got like three main characters and we all represent different eras and times. Would you prefer to be the pirate queen?
That sounds cool as heck.
Amazing. So this work, this whole show begins. It's just this harsh, jarring scene depicting a war between like the pirate queens, a biker gang, and then taking recent inspiration from our cowboy hat wearing friend. There's like a bunch of cowboys like on the other side of the stage. We're all acting out war. And we're singing this like beautiful like operetta. This is like one of the first acts. We're just kind of showing off, you know, this is how bad it has gotten. But like something that is being played with here is time. So there are moments during the show where we're literally like rewinding and undoing what's going on to show people talking, speaking as they're younger or just like before all of this happened. It's a very serialized, like not in order kind of piece. It doesn't make very much sense, but it is genre bending. And it's about an hour and a half long, which is very fun. I think you're playing the pirate queen. Mm-hmm. I'm playing the biker queen.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's a whole thing. Just one motorcycle on stage to imply that there's a whole gang.
There are budget considerations.
Exactly. Like, we pulled this together in 1 week. There is not a lot to go around. And I pay everyone really well. But what we don't realize is, like, first act, we're setting up the war. Second act, we're kind of having those interpersonal conversations. This is where the pirates are off to the side swabbing the poop deck and like conversations are happening on the main set piece. But what they don't realize is like towards the end of the second act into the third act, there's like this circle in the center of the theater that is spinning despite the rest of the theater standing still. And what people don't realize is like that has started moving and the area around the ship where the water is, like we have dancers acting as the water. They're also kind of around it spinning and we're kind of representing all of this war coming to a culmination. But that truly is where the ritual begins. Oh. We're in the center of the theater. Like everyone else is around us. So we are spinning and everyone is watching us. And that idea of knowing, like watching us, looking at us, but knowing we're entering this other strange time, like this ritual time, is like something that a lot of people don't realize is going on. But all of us, you all get hit with the idea like, oh, this is where it's starting. This is where it's happening.
Riot, Crater, and Celestine, you recognize the pins and needles, the off-center physics, the sophophoric sensation that comes from a thinning between reality and the networks. There is a lot to take in this performance. And you watch Epoch so gracefully and effortlessly command and direct everything. It's remarkable, especially considering she told you when you came in that this play was coming together today. But the veil is thin, and you're starting to notice something else. This certainty is like a match being struck, a further thinning of the veil. And as you look upon Epoch with new eyes, you notice something alarming. What starts out as a twinkle at the corner of your consciousness now extends throughout the room. Emerging from Epoch are a tangle of golden threads, more golden threads than even Vlad. They sprout from Epoch in every direction, a handful of them, leading directly into each crew member. You look upon Epoch, the name's Feratu. Something else happens here. An unexpected cast member, or rather lighting person, suddenly joins you on stage in the final moments of the show.
It's time.
And so it is. I think I extend my hand out to Riot, who is pirate queening, I'm sure.
And I take Epoch's hand.
My queens.
Not sure about this new life you may lead, I say to Riot. But I know one thing is for sure, is that I am here to support you. Now, I don't know if there's anything you need to do. I guess beam is not what I should call you, but you go ahead and do what you need to do. I will walk. I think I'm going to try to walk past. Like, this ritual is starting. The golden threads are leading from me, and I'm going to try to walk past the devil, so I'm behind.
Where are Crater and I?
Up to you. You tell me.
Can I be in the rafters?
Yeah.
I want to be right next to Riot, if I can be.
Okay.
I think the stage is, like, this ship thing that's happening, and Riot is at the head of the stage. Which is why it makes sense I'm walking past, like just going by a little bit.
So you walk past the devil, and I think it turns to Riot.
Let's dispense with the illusion, shall we?
And makes that grotesque and enlarging transformation into its goat self. Mm. And it bends lovingly over the threads that are erupting from Epoch as she passes it. And it sort of strokes them tenderly.
These are my most vulnerable examples of bondage. You see, if Epoch doesn't sleep, nobody can come into the network and sever these. And now I must sever them myself. A delicate procedure, to be sure. It is no simple thing to transfer a bond.
And as if in slow motion, the devil reaches down a claw and plucks up a handful of these threads.
As the devil reaches down, I would like to reach behind my body and in a motion, just like flourishing like over my head. Ooh. In this beautiful dance, I'm going to make appear from that same realm that I cast my, you know, scarf jacket to. You see this like beautiful long blade. I'm going to take it down and, like, cleave it right into the wrist as they reach.
Oh. There is a massive bleat of rage that, like, echoes and reverberates throughout the theater and almost seems to combine and elevate the buzzing for a second. And the devil, like, reaches back its hand in pain and goes,
so be it.
For whatever effect it might have, I want to grab Riot's hand and cast Protection from Evil and Good.
Oh, I can tell you that that will be effective because the devil is in fact a fiend.
That is what I was hoping. All right, so I, Celestine just really quickly reaches out and grabs Riot's gun hand, the mechanical hand, and just, we're not going to let anything happen to you, Ms. Riot. And cast Protection from Evil and Good. So mechanically, Riot, the devil will have disadvantage on attack rolls against you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. You cannot be charmed, frightened, or possessed by the devil.
Wow.
So, whoa. Yes, go forth with protection.
Okay.
Let's go.
You become emboldened. A particularly clutch move, I will add. As this being of evil and good. Depending on perspectives, I feel like all arcana have that sort of dichotomy within them. It raises up, having its wrist cleft in two. And it maybe says a cool line.
I've never been cleft like this before.
Oh, please roll initiative.
I am your favorite kid.
And one small tidbit that we'd like to share with you now is that the longer that you looked for the devil in searching through your cast members, the longer the veil thinned. So the devil's initiative is tied to how fast you found it. And because you only went through two, the devil's initiative is only five.
Wow.
Oh my nice. God.
Y'all are too cool. Okay, yeah.
Hit me with them rolls.
Wow.
Okay, sorry. I got a 14.
13 for Celestine.
6.
Okay, 17 for Epoch.
Wahoo. Wow.
Damn.
Considering we did not, no one rolled a higher initiative than 20, so we are going to start this fight with
a lair action. Mm. Lair actions in this fight are going to be a little bit funky. They're going to be a little bit different than what you're used to. These lair actions are called Deal with the Devil.
Oh, fuck.
We're going to offer you guys a deal on Initiative 20. And the first one is the deal of triple trouble.
Sold.
I'm intrigued.
Just kidding. Sorry. Wait.
May I offer you, nay, tempt you with the deal of triple a trouble?
Mechanically, this means you give up 25% of your hit points, but if you hit this round, your damage is tripled.
Mm-hmm.
25% of our hit points, like our max, or just like we lose 25 hit points?
25%.
Yeah, but does it reduce our maximum, or can I heal it?
It reduces your max.
Permanently or just for the battle?
Just for the battle.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Shit.
Any takers?
I might do that.
Celestine just spits on the ground. That's a no.
I'm going to take that deal.
Yeah, I don't think Epoch is fully, yeah, I think Epoch's taking it.
I'm going to take it too.
Oh my God.
Were you expecting this?
I mean, I'm excited. Okay, each of you do your own math, yes, and figure out what 25% of your hit points is, and forget about it.
All right, I'm taking off 39 hit points.
I'm taking off 20.
I'm taking off X amount.
yeah, don't. Mysterious. Don't tell the DMs. Yeah. Don't.
It's 25%.
As the fight begins, as you sort of get the drop on each other in this moment, you notice that a couple of the crew members that you were speaking with before, the ones who were, who are Epoch's thralls, they have changed from their humanoid visage in a similar way that the lighting person did, but where the lighting person turned into the devil, these people have turned into goats. Regular goats, not Dickie's wearing. But there are some goats on the battlefield. And Epoch, you are up first.
Amazing. I'm immediately going to Hexblade's curse the devil.
Sick.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so yes. Curse for a full minute. And I get +5 to my damage rolls, and I crit on 19 to 20.
Oh my gosh.
So, with that being said, I think I've hit... So, the thing that I've struck with is this, like, double-bladed scimitar, this beautiful melee weapon that I struck with one side. I'm going to literally use my palm to flip it the other way and come underneath with the blade and try to hit again.
Ooh.
Fantastic.
And I get 2 attacks. Ay.
Wow.
This build, I kind of did some BS on the build, but it's okay.
You did some DM shit, it sounds
love
like.
It. Absolutely DM love it.
Shit. Oh, 17 to hit on the first.
You got it.
Okay.
Oh, easy.
6 + 5 to hit is 11 on the second.
You don't got it.
Okay, so I got 1. And this damage is tripled?
Yes.
Yay. 6 damage total. multiplied by 3 is 18.
It's not
nothing.
Yeah, it's not nothing. 18 damage.
Sick.
Awesome. Okay. After cutting into the devil's wrist, going after your threads, you strike another blow, but it manages to knock away your second blow. But you see that you have... done a little bit more damage than you're used to having taken this deal. Is that your turn?
Outside of that, because I Hexblade cursed him, it's an extra +5, so that's 23 total. But other than that,
wow.
I think that the room just literally drops into what slow motion is, and all I hear is like this beautiful, lofty string piece being played up, cascading up to a solo, Hearth solo, as I just focus in on this battle right here. That is my turn.
Spectacular.
Cursed. I think in response to what Epoch has done, the devil is going to reach out its hand and target a point right in front of Riot. In fact, right on top of Riot.
Maybe you'd like a little taste of hellfire so you understand what you're dealing with.
It's a 10-foot radius, so I believe it gets Riot and Celestine, and both of you are going to have to roll me a dex saving throw.
22.
Not that.
Okay.
Very bad.
Very, very bad.
Is it under 16?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
It just...
Yeah.
The fuck out.
That's okay.
I'm writing it down. Okay. Now it's cemented forever.
Is it under 16? Okay, so Riot, you save. Celestine, you do not. Yep. And we are going to be doing 13 fire damage. That's halved for you, Riot, to 6.
It's actually not halved because you have evasion.
Goddamn right. Go rogues. 13 fire damage. Already passed my concentration check on protection.
Oh, amazing. That'll bring us to Crater. Up in the rafters.
Up in the rafters. Like the crow who watches from above. Been waiting for this moment all day. I manifested this myself as I just wanted to jump out of the rafters. Yeah, first things first, Crater's going to jump into a rage.
Beautiful.
I'm going to do the slinky arms ability, and then I'm going to perch myself on top of the railing here, and I look out at the devil, and I'm going to jump out at him with my great axe in hand, and I'm going to attempt to come down top of his dumbass head with my great axe.
Okay.
And I'm going to make this recklessly, too.
Okay.
So I'm going to have advantage here. That's an 18 to hit.
You got it.
Okay. And actually, can you make a wisdom saving throw, please?
A wisdom saving throw. Okay.
Yes.
Da, 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 da. That is a 19.
Okay. Never mind. You're good.
Okay.
So there's 13 slashing damage, but tripled. So that's 36.
Okay. Yeah.
Great.
Sorry, it was 30. Sorry. 30.
39. Six.
36.
36. Okay.
Sorry. 13
Tact.
Times 39.
39.
Yes.
You got it. Sorry.
I'm a fucking idiot, sorry.
You're good.
No.
Now that I'm standing right in front of him, I'm going to come down on top of his head again. Great axe, again, recklessly.
Bonk him.
Oh, that's a 25 to hit.
Oh.
Yep,
and bonked. Thoroughly bonked.
I'm going to make you roll another wisdom saving throw, please.
Okay. That one is 17.
Oh, that is the DC. God damn it. Okay, never mind. That's another 13 triples, so it's another 39 damage to him.
Wow. Okay.
And then, can I step back 5 feet from the devil?
I don't know, can you?
The devil's going to take an attack of opportunity.
Okay.
So as you try to take a step back, I think a barbed tail materializes from behind the devil and comes streaking towards you. And it is a 27.
Oh, that backfired on me big time.
Silvery barbs. Reroll that.
Oh my God. I have to reroll that?
You have to reroll that.
I? Okay.
Oh. You, and take the lower roll.
Okay, that's a 13.
Beautiful.
That misses me, and so I'm going to use my reaction, and I'm going to hit for a third time on the devil.
Oh,
and Crater, you have advantage on this roll. You've got advantage on this roll because of the silvery barbs.
Does a 26 hit?
Yes.
A little spiteful there.
Yes.
Can you please roll a wisdom saving throw?
Okay. It's a 13.
That fails. Thank you very much. Okay.
Well, no, thank you very much, because I think I'm going to use a legendary resistance and just save that instead.
That's one down.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Worth it.
Okay. I may have fucked you up here. So that's 19 tripled is a number.
57.
Mm-hmm.
57. 57 slashing damage.
Okay.
Wow.
The devil definitely has staggered back a couple steps a few times during that turn. Although I will say that perhaps with the might of your slashes, you're not quite leaving the mark that you normally would on the devil.
Oh, fuck off.
It's doing great. It's hurting. It stings like a bitch, but not as much as you'd be hoping.
Why is...
Because of the...
They are all...
Magical weapons.
Yeah, they are all magical weapons.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Hold on. I wrote down every single last number here, so I can just add all of that damage now, for fuck's sake. Oh, this
I'm just
going to
say, my great axe came right from the Arcana, so
you're
like...
You're so right.
Damn right.
Okay.
Damn right. If
so
that
painful.
Axe can't hit this thing, nothing can.
Yeah, so at the end of that turn, I think the tail makes another appearance, and it's going to go streaking towards Crater, because the devil is angry that it's not resistance against magical weapons. All right, that is a... It's a crit fail.
Oh my God.
Psych.
Wow.
Beautiful.
Unbelievable. The devil is almost desperate. You all notice this with what's going on here. It looks a bit frantic and not as composed as you're used to. That brings us to Celestine.
All right. First thing Celestine does, yell out to Epoch, should we be trying to not hurt your goat thrall people?
No, you Do as you will. Please. Oh,
all right. Okay. So bonus action, wild shape into the magician form of my constellation. I'm going to hover 20 feet straight up.
Wow.
Fly straight up, hover at 20 feet, and from there cast Cone of Cold down on all of them. The two goats and the devil.
Wow.
Is there a save here?
Yeah, it's a constitution save.
Okay.
I'll roll for the goats.
Okay. I rolled a dirty 23. Or I guess they're all dirty. A 23.
Yeah, yeah, that's a pass. 20 is the DC.
Dirty 23. Not 23.
Oh, my 23s are dirty.
I rolled an 11 for one and a 19 for the other.
19 fails.
Oh, what?
We just got a proficiency bump.
Fuck.
All right. Give me a sec here. 8d8 cold damage.
Both of the goats perish.
They're gone.
They're expired.
Just gone. Sorry, that's the funniest thing in the world.
Help is so hard to find around here.
I'm like, crew.
All right. So yeah, it was 49 cold damage for the devil, halved to 24.
Wow.
Okay. Wow. And that's cold damage, huh? That sucks.
And for the record, those two goats that die, they become frozen as statues until they thaw.
Sick.
Oh,
frick. That's just cruel.
That's...
Goatsicles.
Oh my god.
All right. And I'm just going to hover 20 feet off the air, off the ground, and that's me.
It's me.
Wow.
Then that's me. And I think it's time for another legendary action, because as the goats go down, as all of this is happening, the devil, like Jay said, just seems frantic.
You two don't understand. What you're trying is impossible. I have unfathomable resources.
And it's going to use its legendary action to cast Send in the Goats. Oh, no! It's a 1d4 minus 1 hit. Rolled a 1.
Yes! Yes!
Oh, shit. What the shit man. Is this?
Oh, my. Oh my, you really are having a bad day, aren't you?
This is really bad.
I'm going to say you summon a goat, but just off the side of the stage, and it falls into the orchestra pit.
Oh, look at all those fainting goats?
Yes!
Oh,
my
The orchestra goes da 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 da, and then it is, it would be the goat's turn, but they are frozen and orchestrated, and oh that will bring god. Us to riot.
Woo!
Oh my god.
All righty. Okay, so I'm just gonna like step up one step here so I can see the devil right between Epoch and Crater, and I'm going to whip out my gun arm.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay, so attack. That is 26.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Epoch's in range, so you have sneak attack, and it's all going to be tripled, so...
Okie dokie.
Basically, you're here to wreck shop.
What's the over-under for this being, like, at 70?
Yeah, what's the guess? What's the guess for the final?
77
with sneak attack. Yeah. Oh my goodness. It's got to be. You know what? Mm. I'm gonna be even more optimistic. I'm gonna say 80. Let's do 80.
Ooh. Wow. And is this a magical weapon?
Yes.
Okay.
DMs quake in fear at the problem that they created. More news at 8.
Yeah. You offered us triple damage. Like, we're gonna wreck your shit.
I didn't dream you would do it.
Sitting at a healthy 32 damage. Tripled.
Yes.
We're coming in at a 96 damage here, bud.
Oh my god, buds.
Holy fuck.
How's that
You're
stand?
A bad guy.
Oh my god.
Whoa. I'm crying.
Oh my god.
Ms. Ride, you are in fine form today.
Oh, thanks, not baby. Only did that hurt so bad, the devil like takes a shaky step back, and for the first time you see a tinge of fear in its eyes as it goes,
Riot, come now. You'll like being the name's Vratu. You'll like it.
Still feeling horny?
No!
I mean, right now is Honestly, the perfect time to be horny. I'm just, yeah, we're on the edge of death. You might as well.
You might as well.
You know, like, suck on this, right?
Yeah, well, exactly.
After doing the most amount of damage that anybody's ever done on the show, is there anything else on your turn, Ryan?
I suppose
96.
Jesus,
freaking Christ.
Maybe I will. No, I'm good. I'm gonna stay here. Stay put.
Nestled in a pretty good spot, just behind Crater and a few steps behind Epoch, with a clear shot to the devil. And it is now the devil's turn.
The devil is not happy, and more so, the devil's now a little bit afraid, it seems, though it tries to mask it as best it can. Its tongue comes out of its mouth and darts sharply towards Riot.
Oh.
Well, attack with disadvantage.
Give me a charisma save.
Oh. Charisma.
15?
Ooh. Oh.
I think the tongue's gonna get you, and it just...
actually, take a bardic inspiration.
I was gonna give out a bardic, yeah.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Oh, double bards.
I just swore I would have, like, five white hairs.
It's a d6,
right? D6, thank you.
You also have a d10, but I don't... Let's hold on to the d10. Oh. Let's wait.
Okay.
You're just gonna roll a 6, that'll be fine.
It's a 3, 18.
You say... However, the tongue slips into your ear regardless.
Oh,
it's a lot of fun feeling. And you are going to take half of 16, 8 damage, 8 psychic damage, as it whispers into your ear visions of what could be if you would only listen.
It's what it is.
Unsatisfied by that, I think as the tongue pierces psychically into Riot's mind and does an unexpectedly low amount of damage, the tail whips out again and comes streaking towards Crater.
Okay.
15.
That misses.
Oh my god.
Do you know why that misses?
Because of that ass.
Because of my juicy ass.
This is the AC from the ass injections. Oh my That's god. Right. What have we done?
I can't believe how much this is not going our way.
This is absurd. And I think the devil echoes that sentiment.
This is absurd.
Fantastic. Is that the end of the devil's turn?
It is, but I think there might be another bargain.
Oh, there certainly will be.
Can we just do a quick little recap of that first round?
Oh,
I think we dealt like 200 points of damage to the devil.
Yeah. Wow.
And dealt 8, I think.
So. Yep. No, there was another one with the hellfire.
Yeah, that's no, true. I took 13. That was, I'm feeling a little warm where I'm
can
at.
Can you just pretend that it hurt a bit more than it did?
No, it was just the lights, everyone. Don't worry about the heat.
I will reiterate the wording of the previous deal. You give up 25% of your hit points, but if you hit this round, your damage will be tripled. The triple damage has been lost, but you are faced with the next deal.
Almost hesitantly this time, the devil's voice rings out.
May I offer you all the deal of benevolent a betrayal?
And what this entails is that you must use your action to attack another player at advantage, and it has to do damage. But then the devil can't take any legendary actions or use any resistances for one round.
Attack me.
No.
Yeah, I know, like, hit me. I can fucking take it, seriously.
So just one person has to take this deal?
Correct.
Bludgeoning, slashing, fire, I can handle all
this. Well, I am not taking this deal. I can't. I'm sorry, Crater. I can't hit you.
Fucking hit me. Somebody hit me.
I'll do it. Can you take it?
Yeah.
I only do things that will hurt the devil, so. Gotta pass.
Pass from Celestine.
I'll take it.
Ryan's gonna take it! Oh, and look, there's allies standing next to Crater.
Bok.
Oh, no!
Yes!
But that doesn't happen right now, right? That's, like, on Riot's turn?
Correct.
Okay.
Right.
But that will bring us to Epoch.
These deals. You know, the first one was really good, but I can tell that they're really getting to you.
What deal can I offer Epoch to make this stop?
The deal we started with. Keep Riot out of this.
I will not, Epoch. As much as you are beloved to me, I will not
Well, I guess it hurts the most when it comes from your favorite. And I'm going to cast Shatter.
Yo!
I need a con save.
I fucking crit failed again.
Yes!
Oh, wait, you know what? No. I'm using a resistance.
You can't.
You can't.
No.
What's the deal?
I am the devil in this moment. This is all hitting me in real time.
Okay, let's go. 7d8 thunder damage your direction.
Fucking.
Okay, it is. That's going to be 36 points of shatter damage. Plus 5, because the devil is hexed by me. So that's 41 points of damage.
Whoa! Oh,
my God. Oh. Okay.
Do the goat ice statues just, like, shatter?
Oh, yeah. For sure.
If that's what you want, baby, yes.
Yes, that's exactly... That was an action, and I still have another attack, technically. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take my scimitar and press it up to its throat.
Mm-hmm.
You can take the deal at any point in time, but it is our deal.
I am the one who makes the offers, Epoch.
I don't think I believe in that anymore.
What?
I don't believe in that anymore.
You've just fucking blown its mind.
Heck yeah. I think I'm gonna bring my blade down. Scimitar.
Yeah!
Okay. Strike.
The orchestra picks up and Hearth delivers a beautiful solo, somehow much louder and more powerful than ever before. And it hits the highest register and resonates throughout the theater, vibrating the devil and the ice statue goes.
Oh, the resonance theater. Let's go, y'all.
Cool.
Let's go, y'all.
The music is just swelling. It's perfect. I got a 14 to hit.
Oh, no.
Does that not hit?
It doesn't hit.
Oh, no. Interesting, because...
Take an inspiration.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Inspiration 1d6. Let's go.
Freaking bard.
Plus 5.
Holy shit.
Oh, yes.
This is amazing. Okay.
What is this?
It's only 10 damage. It's only 5 damage plus my 5 from my curse.
Mm-hmm. Just a second, please. I need to align.
I need a minute. Yeah. I gotta go have a cigarette.
Yeah.
So you had the scimitar pressed up against the devil's throat.
Yes.
And it refused, and you blew its mind by suggesting that someone else is the one who makes the offers of deals. And as you swipe your blade, how do you want to dance with the devil under the theater spotlight?
Oh!
You just ended it, baby.
You're one of the coolest people in the world. Oh my gosh, this is remarkable. Oh my gosh, I slash, and I would like to do it as like, it's not that it's non-lethal, but I think that I slash and I know that it's lethal. I pick him up, horny little goat man, or person, I guess, and start dancing it around so all of us literally can have literal swings at this thing.
Beautiful.
Oh my God, it's an absolute massacre.
And in the final moment, that beautiful spotlight, the one that was so perfectly curated, lands on us and I dip it down.
The thing about the devil is that it has a throat, it has a body, it does not need them to speak, it does not need them to exist. These trappings are for the mere purpose of interacting with all of life on the fifth collide. But something has happened here in this theater tonight. You two belong to the devil. You have pledged your fealty. You should not have been able to break this deal. And as the devil collapses, finally, after you're done dancing it about the stage, as it takes blows from all of you and becomes just absolutely haggard, it collapses. And that same mind-blown look, it's almost like staring off into the distance, staring off into nothingness. And finally, it looks up in between Epoch and Riot and goes,
"This is impossible. What have you done?"
Down on all fours, the devil falls. As it collapses, it metamorphoses into an incomprehensible writhing figure, flickering through images of the many, many people who have been bound or have bound others over time. Some you recognize, many you don't. But as the flickering becomes faster and faster, android faces merge with human faces in rapid succession. The devil struggles against an unfathomable force. And then, with a grotesque, gurgling scream, the devil erupts and disappears entirely, leaving a visible inky void behind. The theater shakes. Applause roars. You can feel the devil's absence in your very souls. You fathom the unfathomable. The corners of your minds threaten to shatter.
Epoch reaches out for Riot, puts her hand on Riot's shoulder as she stares at this inky void, and the applause kind of fills the space.
And Riot turns into Epoch and kind of puts her forehead on her shoulder in an overwhelm of gratitude.
We did it.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Epoch, there's one final deal I'd like to offer you. You've spent much of your life being so closely wound with the devil. There is a dangerous void left behind by the absence of something so huge as an arcana. The impulses, feelings, and motivations the devil encompassed must go somewhere. In the absence of a devil to receive and embody these impulses, the imbalance threatens to tear everything apart. However, the void, it wants to be filled. And it calls out to one of you in particular, one who unknowingly bound many, one who was beloved of the devil. The massive abstraction of this void begins to take on a new shape, one that beckons to Epoch, that begs Epoch to step into it, to fill it. Epoch, do you fill the void? And do you become the new devil?
I have to. There's a part of me that's starting to unravel, like the tightly wound coils of a violin string. It's going to break, and I feel slumber crawling over me, and I know that if I fall asleep, I won't wake up. I squeeze Riot's shoulder, and I step forward, and the only thing I say is, I'll be better. I'll slow down, and I'll do all of that after I do this. And I step into it.
You step into it. You fill the void. You feel the power rush through you. You are Arcana. But it's not an immediate change. It's gradual. Something has shifted now, and you can tell that in taking this deal, everything is going to be different. But for now, all you can think about is how good your first sleep in how many years is going to feel.
The applause is still happening, like still going on. People have not stopped clapping. And I think whatever transition is happening, like the slow transition is happening on stage, you watch Epoch as the cast that has been created, all of these thralls have come out on stage and have taken a bow. Epoch goes to the head of the ship in the center of the stage. And that transformation happens like as she's taking each step. And when she gets to the bow of the ship, she's gonna bow. And when she comes back up, she looks different.
What more fitting venue for the death and rebirth of an arcana than a theater? And as Epoch takes her final bow and straightens and regards her audience, a change has indeed taken place, or more like a change has begun to take place. And as the audience understands somehow that now is the time to file out, they do so reverently. And as Epoch sees the final attendee leave the theater, she gracefully sinks to her knees, and her eyes grow heavy. And so we witness Epoch's first sleep and the birth of a new arcana. The devil.
Thank you for listening. This is Jay, one of your DMs. Huge, massive thanks to Lexi, aka @BlackGirlMage, for joining us for episodes 45 and 46. They'll also be on our Patreon-exclusive Recharge, so if you want more Lexi, which of course you do, head over to patreon.com/planetarcana. And if you want even more Lexi, which again, of course you do, you should follow Lexi immediately at @BlackGirlMage on Twitter to find out everything about his series, The Strix U, an HBCU-inspired wizard school actual play. You should also follow Lexi for fun new stuff she's cooking up. I heard whispers of a new secret anthology series. Be the first to know and follow Lexi. That's all for me. See you in a couple weeks.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Here's a question for the marketers listening. Want to find that perfect customer beyond the world of scrolling, swiping, and searching? Here's a secret to make sparks fly. Smooth talking with podcast ads. With Acast, you can reach millions of listeners who'll be hanging on your every word. On the train to work, in the gym, or waiting in line for coffee. Start up the conversation with podcast listeners anywhere and everywhere. And they're looking for love. 60% of listeners have a higher trust in brands they've met on podcasts compared to social. Get closer to your audience. Make podcast ads with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.